Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on November 20th, 2020, here in Columbia. Back in Columbia, at home studio. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features recommendations from state leaders on how to have a safe Thanksgiving, plans for rapid testing in schools, we have the latest political movements on several of our members from the State House to Congress, we look at the state's employment situation, including the nearly 28,000 jobs added last month, and top health officials tell us in detail about how a vaccine rollout would work in the state. Also, we have some huge Thanksgiving reveals in the wind down. Trust me, you're going to love the way you look. Guarantee it. Copyright. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Still want to hear from you all about Thanksgiving? You can leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on. I know some people out there are on the fence thinking, should I call? Is it going to guilt me into calling? Call us. We want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on with your Thanksgiving. And just so you know, our Thanksgiving will be taking a break next week. But this turkey may bring you some gobbling surprises, so just because we're off, we might drop a little mini pod here or there, so check us out wherever you find podcasts. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,949 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 191,021 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of November 20th at 4 p.m. So we're approaching 4,000 deaths and nearly 200,000 cases. Some stark numbers there. There are also 808 people hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state. 203 patients are in the intensive care units, and 106 patients are on ventilators. Again, those numbers have been steadily increasing. Our percent positive rate is currently 13.2%. And DHEC reports that since April 3rd, 1,532 residents in nursing homes or assisted living facilities have died from COVID-19. There have also been 24 staff deaths. And Johns Hopkins reports that the U.S. is averaging more than 160,000 new cases a day in the country, which equates to nearly 1 million new cases every 6 days. The U.S. is expected to surpass 250,000 cumulative deaths as of Friday. And more on how the state wants you to stay safe this Thanksgiving after this break. Play that music. On Thursday, Governor Henry McMaster and health officials held their first televised COVID-19 briefing in 70 days. The presser came a week before Thanksgiving, a holiday that AAA estimates will send some 50 million Americans traveling. Governor McMaster did not cancel Thanksgiving or announce the re-implementation of any restrictions, but gave this advice.
Well, we're not restricting people from having Thanksgiving. We're just I don't know what they're doing in other states. So other states, they're prohibiting all kinds of things. Some states, they shut down manufacturing plants. They've even shut down churches, if you can believe that. But what we're doing is asking everybody to use common sense, to be smart, to get tested before turkey is one thing, but to realize that the virus is out there, it's very dangerous, and we need to be careful. But you can be careful and still have Thanksgiving in the ways that I described.
McMaster suggested spacing people out inside while dining on Thanksgiving Day or having the meal outside, like they did way back when. Now, as for getting tested before turkey, well, I can go on the record and say I did get tested before turkey on Wednesday of this week. I popped through a DHEC testing site in Columbia. It only took 10 minutes. I did a pre-registration online, showed my QR code, boom, boom. Not even like the brain nasal swab. It was just a little inch in there. Boom. Still waiting results. Hopefully they come soon so I can feel safe when I head home. Now, McMaster did say through an executive order that he will be sending rapid testing kits to all 81 school districts in the state after Thanksgiving. This rollout will help school staff at the 19 districts in the state where five-day-a-week in-person school is happening, so children can be tested if they show any symptoms, and it will help differentiate between the flu. Acting Public Health Director Dr. Brandon Traxler said if parents sign a consent form, children will be able to be tested by a school nurse.
DHEC will be providing test kits to the public schools in South Carolina through the Department of Education. These will be the Binex Now rapid antigen tests that are made by Abbott and have been provided to South Carolina from the federal government. We will be issuing a standing order authorizing the school nurses to be trained in how to collect the specimen and how to perform the tests. Again, assuming the parents or guardians have provided written consent or verbal, depending on the situation, to the nurse. The first rounds or so of these will be aimed at use for symptomatic students and staff. So those who may become ill while at school, we also will let them potentially do some testing almost drive-through like in the parking lot if the child, we certainly don't want them sending the child to school sick. But this is really to, during the cold and flu season, allow us to rule out COVID-19 more easily in these children, especially ones we're getting to normal testing sites might be more of a challenge. And this will allow the students to stay in school if they are negative and of course don't have another condition such as the flu and therefore reduce the amount of time that students are missing.
While our case counts aren't skyrocketing like in other parts of the country, they have been steadily rising, and our percent positive remains in the teens, well above the 5% threshold. Despite this, McMaster defended his approach to the pandemic by looking at the economic data.
We're not going to bring back the restrictions. We want to. We, in our state, we've done it differently from many others. There were others who went into lockdown, closed businesses, and forced people out of business. Businesses have closed. A lot of those states having, they're going to have to borrow money. We are not. We've been very careful. The legislature has been very careful. We'll be announcing soon, perhaps tomorrow, unemployment. We think our unemployment rate is going lower and lower, which is good. You remember last count, it was 5.1%. I think New York was 10 or 11, and California was 10 or 11, and of course, they've been locked down and are going back into lockdown. We've taken a different course. We've been measured. We've been careful. We've followed the science and the practicality. And I believe that the jury is in. We've done better following you being smart and careful about it instead of using a too broad and overbroad approach. And we have stuck with the Constitution of the United States, we believe, which is very important.
Real quick, we got some statehouse news for you. Orangeburg Senator Brad Hutto is the new leader of the Senate Democratic Caucus. Hutto won a 13-3 vote, thanks to his colleagues, to replace Lexington Senator Nikki Setzler, who stepped down after leading the caucus for 8 years. Setzler decided not to run again for the post after three Senate Democrats lost their seats on November 3rd, giving Senate Republicans their biggest majority ever at 30-16. Hutto has been in the Senate since April 1996 and will lead his caucus through what will undoubtedly be a difficult session, with abortion and gun issues front and center when lawmakers return to Columbia on January 12th. Speaking of leadership news, in Congress, Jim Clyburn was reelected as Majority Whip for the 117th Congress. The 80-year-old Clyburn, who just won his 15th term, gave some remarks along with other Democratic leaders this week.
We must, in this Congress, respond to the dreams and aspirations of the children and their families. And I am hopeful that we can work together within our caucus and reaching out across the aisle to get done what needs to be done for the American people.
And finally, Senator Lindsey Graham remains a fervent flag carrier for the Trump administration as it continues to look for voter fraud where there is none. I'd share some more details, but since there is no evidence whatsoever, only conspiracy theories, shoddy lawsuits that have been thrown out across the country, the president is pressuring election officials, contesting certified real election results, and firing Chris Krebs, the director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency at the Department of Homeland Security, for allegedly lying about the safety and security election, despite there being no evidence. There is, however, abundant evidence that the election was not rigged or suffered from any widespread voter fraud. Now, CNN reports that three ethics experts, Walter Schaub, a former top ethics watchdog for the federal government, Richard Painter, the chief ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush's administration, and Claire Finkelstein, the director of the University of Pennsylvania's Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law, asked the Senate Ethics Committee on Wednesday to look into Senator Lindsey Graham's call last week with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and whether Graham suggested that Raffensperger, quote, disenfranchise Georgia voters by not counting votes lawfully cast for the office of president, quote. Perhaps it was just that deadpan sarcasm from Graham, like when he mentioned the good old days of segregation during the Barrett confirmation hearings. More to be seen. Now, real quick, before we get to our big reveal in the wind-down section, stay tuned, folks. We're going to look at what's going on with the state's unemployment rate, which has dropped to 4.2% in October from 5.2% in September. This, according to the South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce. Now, this was due in part to the state adding nearly 28,000 jobs last month. Dew says the number of unemployed people declined significantly as well and is hovering around 100,300. DOE Director Dan Elzey said this in the following statement, quote, October's employment situation is a huge stepping stone in the economic recovery process for South Carolina. Our state's unemployment rate has dropped to 4.2%, only a few percentage points higher than the historic low unemployment rate of 2.4% in January. This development indicates a massive shift in South Carolinians going back to work, quote. Now, industries that saw the biggest month-to-month gains were the leisure and hospitality industry, education and health services, and financial services. However, just over 3,000 people gave up looking for jobs and dropped out of the active workforce. There are two promising vaccines on the horizon. Pfizer is pushing for emergency use authorization, and Moderna is expected to do the same in the near future. So with all this happening, we caught up with DHEC officials on a call Wednesday to hear some more details about vaccines, what it means for the state, and when you could get one. State epidemiologist Dr. Lindebel gave this overview.
There are a number of phases for the vaccine administration, and in the initial phase, because of the limited supply of vaccine and the goal to protect those initially who are in a position to decrease death and serious disease as much as possible, we will be in that phase 1A. We will be targeting workers in healthcare facilities primarily and others who have key roles in to preserve the functioning in society. So because of that limited target population initially, those doses will be administered through healthcare systems, and the initial plans are not for people to go to their healthcare providers and receive those.
According to the DHEC vaccination plan submitted to the feds, phase one is where there will be a limited supply of COVID-19 vaccine doses available. Efforts will be focused on rapidly reaching targeted populations such as healthcare personnel, people at high risk, and critical infrastructure workers. Phase two is when a large number of vaccine doses will become available. The focus then will be on ensuring access to vaccine for phase one targeted groups who are not yet vaccinated and expanding efforts to the general population, utilizing an expanded provider network. And now phase three would be when sufficient supply of vaccine doses for the entire population and a surplus of doses is available, focusing on ensuring equitable vaccination access in the whole population. So that's just like your little crash course there on the phases. Now here's Dr. Jane Kelly, who's the assistant state epidemiologist, who says it will be still weeks before a few thousand doses of vaccine reach the state and frontline medical workers, even with Pfizer's emergency use authorization request to the FDA.
Pfizer may apply for emergency use authorization in the next few days, but it certainly won't be approved in the next few days. The FDA mechanism for reviewing all the documents, there's going to be hundreds of pages of documents to review, from preclinical studies, the animal studies, through phase 1, 2, and 3 human studies, a lot of efficacy and safety data to be reviewed. That process, FDA estimates, will take at least 2 weeks. And if there are any questions, of course, those questions will need to be addressed, and that may delay it further. So when we say they're applying for an EUA in the next few days, that this certainly does not mean that vaccine will be available in the next few days.
Now, currently, there are no plans to require the vaccine as a requirement for children to attend school, officials said. Even with all this talk about vaccines, Dr. Linda Bell says don't let your guard down, even when a vaccine becomes available. She also gave her advice on Thanksgiving gatherings.
Well, certainly for the immediate future, for the upcoming holidays, all the recommendations that we have for prevention and protection must remain in place, because there is no way that enough doses of vaccine will be available or probably available at all for the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. So our recommendations for the use of masks, physical distancing, avoiding gatherings, this is including gatherings in the home, to prevent exposure, we still reinforce that message very, very strongly. And I will say that even into the future, when vaccine doses begin to become available in limited supplies and they're indicated for specific populations, it still leaves the population as a whole largely at risk. And in fact, even with the encouraging news with the expected efficacy of the two vaccines that may receive approval first of 90%, before we can stop these prevention measures or relax these prevention measures that are in place now and rely entirely on the vaccine, we would have to get to a population coverage of very high levels. Up to 90% of the population would need to be covered before we could resume what people are asking about, those normal activities without the use of masks and things like that. So it's going to take us quite some time before we can achieve high coverage levels that are very largely dependent on vaccine manufacturing processes and the doses that are available. And very, very importantly, people's willingness to receive the vaccine when it does become available. So the faster that we can get the population covered, the more quickly we can move to, what we're all looking forward to is more normalized activities.
Now, if you really want a deep dive on more of the state's draft vaccine plan, you can find it easily on DHEC's COVID website. It has a lot of details and definitions. It's just interesting information. And as we leave the medical section, we have an update from DHEC on its plan to enhance the quality of daily COVID-19 data. The agency will start delaying data by 24 hours beginning November 27th to allow for more robust analysis and data validation, as well as verification of death reports and improvements in processing data from its partners. So we'll be operating under a delay, but with better information, it always helps. So stay tuned. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. Tell us how you're handling things, if you've contracted COVID-19, tell us about your testing experiences or working through the unemployment system or teaching your kids from home. We know that's so much work, and keep at it, keep your head up. That's just a lot to juggle. We're here for you, parents. This section is for you. Tell us what's going on though. 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on. We didn't get as many Thanksgiving callers as I would have liked, AT. That's no. Okay, folks. I know you're busy, a lot going on. But I just want to know favorite dishes. I want to know, who's making turkey decorations with their hands, what's going on. So did we get any callers, though, at all about Thanksgiving, AT? No, yes.
We got a few, but not for today. Today is more a referendum on our discussion on Wawa and mashed potatoes.
More referendums.
Yes. We people have come at both of our throats for today. So
love it. Here for it. We stand.
This is going to be our first episode with double duty voicemails, two callers.
Record
and our
scratch.
Big reveal is some information about both of them after they call.
Oh, the big reveal.
Baby. We're going to dox them. I will be releasing both of their cell phone numbers and addresses. So
good.
Good. Any delay, here's our first caller, Gavin, coming for you.
Oh, go caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, team Gavin. This is Cam in Columbia, South Carolina. First time, medium time. I was calling to take issue with Gavin's assessment on Wawa's locations in Virginia. As a proud Virginian expat, I loved going to my local Wawa in Newport News as early as 2003, 2004. So Wawa has been in the game in that area for quite some time. Lustapod, please acknowledge that Wawa has been there for an extended period of time. Thanks, bye.
That's tough for you, Gavin. That's tough to come back from
Cam,
for you.
Thanks for the assessment of Wawa's. I apologize for not being aware of Wawa's extended operating network, especially yes. in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Egg on your face.
I will be driving through that wonderful state that is for lovers this weekend, but mm-hmm. Newport News is not on my way, so I don't know. I mean, if there's one off of 95, I'll go, but I never remember.
There are numerous.
I know Sheets. I mean, I'm going to stand Sheets.
Sheets is a very 80, Highway 80
okay.
stop, okay? And Wawa is a 95 stop. It's a prestige gas station.
I will stop at each one of them and take a selfie, and I will put it on our Instagram.
It is a prestige gas station.
You have to look. Yeah, well, I mean, hey, I am for the prestige. I am a Loves fan. I am
Heritage
a
brand. Heritage brand gas station.
legacy brands. Okay, but yes, thank you, Cam. Love, appreciate you calling in. What's next, AT? Someone's coming for you and mashed potatoes, is this right?
Yeah, because I said I don't like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's
so,
just, I mean, everyone should be calling. Well, a surprise, only one caller is doing this. Thank you, though.
Predictably, my friend Logan called it.
Long time. Great listener.
Here we go.
Hello, Gavin and AT. I just wanted to tell you that my family will not be having Thanksgiving due to COVID. So my plan is to make a giant, massive bowl of the most mashed potatoes, and I'll eat it. Wawa sucks, and mashed potatoes is bad.
Oh, Logan really delivering there, saying the things that I can't professionally say.
Little egg on my face, you know, right there.
Spuds on your face.
Spuds on my face, yeah.
I want to see this giant bowl of mashed potatoes. It kind of got me thinking you could do like a big thing of loaded mashed potatoes. I mean,
ugh.
I
just don't like the texture alone is gross.
Oh, come on. It's
I don't like it.
I don't like a basic potato, a baked potato. I mean, I can eat it, but
don't say that. Logan's going to call in and come after you.
I will eat the mashed potatoes any day. I love it. Great stuff. I can even have the skins on it because I'm a big boy. But
you are a very large boy. Very big boy.
I also keep the crust on my bread because I'm a big boy. Grew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy mashed potatoes. You get the gravy in there. You can start putting some bacon or whatever the hell else you want to put on there. Get crazy with it.
Get crazy.
I don't want to say bacon and cheese because
get
that is
crazy
your issue
with it,
putting
guys.
Bacon
get
on
crazy
anything.
With it.
You can just get crazy.
Get crazy.
Get
just
Let
go
us know.
Crazy.
A little spud.
You could bedazzle it. You could bejewel it. Put some rhinestones on it. Eat it
look
up.
Look how pretty
Good.
That looks. Look at that.
You want to know the big reveal about these?
Oh,
both
yeah.
These
what
callers?
Was the big reveal?
The big reveal is both of these guys, both of these massive tryptophans of the pod. Okay. That's not the reveal. Not the reveal, but a great little bit of wordplay. You're welcome.
Good job, Dad.
Is that both of these callers lived in my basement for a while. It misses you. I miss you guys. Come on, move back in, please.
Tyrannical landlord.
My basement boys. So moving on.
I finished up the Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit.
Loved it.
Yes.
Loved it.
Except this isn't really ruining it.
I don't have an issue with your issue with the end.
It doesn't really ruin it to tell you what happens at the end where, like, obviously she just climbs up this ladder and gets better and better at chess, right? But then at the very end, she's in the biggest game of her life and... She's like, oh, I'm floundering. What am I going to do? And then this guy with a preposterous scarf on mm-hmm. comes from
Lenny
her
Kravitz,
past and goes,
Lenny Kravitz scarf.
How about you study with a friend?
Yeah.
You know, and
it
you're like, come on, get out of here.
As corny as you made it sound.
It was so corny.
But well, of course it is. It's television. But
no, it's Netflix.
It was feel good because there's
you're
a lot
get
of
Netflix
there's a lot
coming
of, like,
after you
yeah.
next.
I mean, it was
it's
great.
It's not television.
You know,
it's Netflix.
There's a lot of moments where you think things are going to go one way and they don't, and you're like, oh, thank God. I will say the cinematography, the style, yeah. the fashion is just like, everything is
the
just
clothes,
incredible.
The clothes are off the charts, minus yeah. this one scarf. Everything else really tracks.
Like, I love those 60s shows where they just like glamorize the hell out of it. I mean, I'm sure it was mm-hmm. somewhat like that, but you know, underneath it all was just misery. But yeah. if they all looked good yeah. and great and they were drunk all the time, it's like, yeah. I can understand
how
why.
How many times was she buying booze and her like high school enemy looked at her booze and she looked at the enemy's booze and no words were exchanged? Yeah. Like, so like, they were miserable at the same time.
But at least she got to break some glass ceilings. So
it was a really good show.
Great. Especially I really enjoyed it. After The Crown, which was also great. Also great costumes, great acting, cinematography. But very I will 90s, say there's though. Just so much good acting in The Crown to the point where I just can't stand Prince Charles because he's so annoying. He's
such a little word. I don't think anyone else can besides Camilla.
Oh, yeah. It's like, ugh. Oh, she know it. Everyone likes her more than they like me, and I can't sit up straight. And
I saw,
mommy,
I
like,
saw
ugh.
A fantastic tweet about it. They just showed a picture of, what's his name? Prince, what's the
Charles.
New prince now? Not Charles, his
William?
Son.
Yeah.
William.
Oh,
they
yeah.
showed a
oh.
picture of him, and they were like, man, did Diana save this gene pool? And I was like, yeah, yes, they
yeah,
did.
But then there's like that hairline's peeling back like a can
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, peeling back, though. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that old, old gene pool really
you know, do you,
fighting its way back.
Do you trade it in for that youthfulness? But just to like wrap up, I'm going to be heading back home for Thanksgiving, getting tested, just going to go hang out with my mom and go see my two brothers. I mean, my three nephews,
wholesome.
Like very small groups, nothing major. We're not going down to Aunt Kathleen's in Fredericksburg, where there's probably a Wawa.
Definitely
know.
Will be a Wawa.
Definitely
there.
Not celebrating Wawa Thanksgiving, but it'll be good to go up there and just for the week. We might do some little pods for people. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, because we're gonna be off. We're gonna be off. Everyone enjoy their time off. We might do some fun stuff. I mean, depends on how bored Gavin and I get.
Yeah.
Honestly,
so, I can be like, Mom, we'll I can be like, Mom, tell us what you're doing right now, and she'll be like, Well, putting the turkey in. Like,
and then I'll yell, speak up!
Give me more adjectives.
I'm going to cut you if you don't.
Do we need to tell?
Speak
do
up.
We also need to wrap up really quick and tell them our ideas for our pilots for Netflix shows?
Oh, yeah. Well, Gavin and I, we just went in our spare time. We brainstormed great television
right before
programs.
We started the pod today, we weren't rolling.
We were on
I wish
fire,
we were rolling
I mean,
because we got just gold.
We came up with the idea of
radioactive reporter.
There's a radioactive reporter because he was bit by a radioactive headline and now he can sense the news.
Too much.
The news.
Too many powers.
And then there's also a doctor lawyer. And the show is called Esquire MD Chicago, obviously, because all
Esquire
shows
Esquire MD Chicago.
He was also born during a hurricane and can sense extreme weather.
Don't worry, folks. We will be making these pilots. We're going to turn into them. Please don't steal our ideas.
These have been trademarked.
Yes.
If you go and you develop anything like this, this is intellectually protected.
Yeah.
We've put this... This is basically writing it down and mailing it to yourself and not opening it. What we just did right here.
He's dead.
I object. Jesus, death.
I object to this flatline. Judge,
clear.
He's dead.
Clear.
You can't sue your way out of this one, buddy.
Yeah. Apple a day doesn't keep this lawyer away.
Think of the puns, folks. Let us know more ideas. We love you listening to us. We also got a great... before we go, I want to say that we got a great little review here from MPC 1984 on iTunes, and we also got one from R. Taylor UNC. So thank you both for giving us those great reviews. Actual reviews, there's no Moby Dick in there. That's perfect. Those really nice words from all
shame.
Of you. Five stars. You can also give us a review, iTunes. We appreciate it. And also a voicemail, 803-563-7169. You can also stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina, and happy Thanksgiving.
Now, what do I do if I wasn't recording the whole time?
Before he writes tomorrow's headlines today.
What
oh,
is
God.
It? Oh, the news! It's everywhere! Oh!
I wish I could just turn it off.